Welcome to the Expositor Podcast with Dr. Stephen J. Lawson. Dr. Lawson is the founder and president of One Passion Ministries. The Expositor Podcast is focused on taking your preaching to the next level. Now, here's Dr. Lawson.
In this session, I want to talk about the fact that we preach the spirituality of God. What do I mean, the spirituality of God? We often think about our own spirituality, which we would equate with godliness and personal holiness. What do we mean when we say the spirituality of God? We must be very careful to preach this grand truth. Well, what it means is several things. First of all, that God is spirit, small s. What that means is God does not have a physical body. God does not have what we would call a corporal body. God, therefore, cannot be seen with physical eyes. There's nothing to see. God cannot be touched. There's nothing to touch. God does not have a body. That is true of the first and the third person of the Trinity. In eternity past, it was true of the second person of the Trinity. And herein is the uniqueness of the incarnation, the virgin birth, that God, who has no physical body, took upon himself a human body and remains in that human body now, what we would call a resurrected, glorified body throughout all eternity future. So we begin by saying that God is spirit. Now, I know exactly what some of you are thinking. Well, there are passages in the Bible which say, for example, like 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth. Well, I hope this won't shake you up too much. God does not have eyeballs. God does not need glasses. God does not wear contacts. God does not have two eyes. So you would say, well, then why does the Bible say the eyes of the Lord to him roam to and fro? It's a figure of speech that is known as anthropomorphism, which assigns to God human-like qualities that communicate the spiritual truth about God. So when we say the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro, that simply communicates that God is omniscient, that God sees everything, that God knows everything. And God is so far beyond us. If God was to communicate with us on his level, it would be so far over our heads. We couldn't even begin to grasp God. So God has to come down to our level. And if you will, communicate who he is to us in what we would call just baby talk, baby-like words. And so when we read the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro, that is God almost speaking to us in communication like dat, dat, mama, putting the cookies on the bottom shelf so that finite people like you and me could grasp the infinite qualities of Almighty God. I'll just give you some more examples. In Exodus 24:10, it talks about the feet of the Lord. Well, God doesn't wear shoes nor sandals. God does not have physical feet. In verse 11 of that same chapter, it talks about the hand of the Lord. No, that just represents the hand of the Lord, the activities of God. The arm of the Lord in Isaiah 53:1 represents the omnipotence of the Lord, that when God extends his right arm, he is releasing his power to do mighty things upon the earth. Hosea 11, verse 8, talks about the heart of the Lord. Well, that's just talking about his affections. Isaiah 40, verse 5, talks about the mouth of the Lord. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, talks about the mouth of the Lord. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God does not have a physical mouth. but it communicates to us that God is a speaking God, that God communicates with us. John 4, verse 24 says, God is spirit, and that is a small, to be understood as a small s, that he has no corporal presence. So I think the point has been made. Maybe one more verse, Romans 11, 34, for who's known the mind of the Lord? Well, God does not have brain cells. It just communicates to us, again, the wisdom and the omniscience, the stunning genius of Almighty God. So God is spirit. Second, God is invisible. Because God is spirit, there's nothing to see. He cannot be seen. If you hear some preacher say, well, I saw the Lord, you can just write him off as a quack. He is a fanatic whose excitement has far exceeded his intelligence. No one has seen the Lord. And if you ever did see the Lord, you would see the physical glory with the bright shining light. You would faint as a dead man. You wouldn't be talking about it. John 6, verse 46, not that anyone has seen God. Colossians 1:15, he is the invisible God. That means there's no visible manifestation to see. And that's why Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Colossians 1:15. Jesus said in John 14, 9, he has seen me, has seen the Father. You can't see the Father, but you can see the Son. And so we see here that God is invisible. There are times when God has chosen to reveal himself as bright, shining light. In Exodus 33:18, Moses said, show me your glory. And God said, go hide behind the rock, hide in the cleft of the rock. And he caused his glory to pass by in front of Moses. And it was bright, shining light, which was the emanation of the being of God. And so God is light. 1 John 1 and verse 5. Let me give you one more under this and then we'll wrap this up. Imminent. God is imminent. That is to say, God is near. We tend to think of God as high and lifted up far away, and he is. But he's also near. Because he's spirit, he's everywhere. And we'll talk about this later, the omnipresence of God. There's no place where God is not present. God is present in heaven. God is present on the earth. This may be shocking to you. God is present in hell. There is no place where God does not exist because of his spirit, because he is a spirit. Deuteronomy 4, verse 7 says, you are a God who is near. Psalm 23, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. There will never be a moment in your life in which the Lord is not near to you and is not with you. Especially if you're a believer, he makes himself known to you as near. Psalm 34:18, he is near the brokenhearted. So, God is imminent. I just need to give you one more. God is indivisible. Wherever God is, he is there with the fullness of all of his being. It's not that, well, God's holiness is over here, and his love is over here, and his wrath is over here, and God can be divided up like a pie. No. The entirety and the fullness of God is wherever God is. It's a glorious truth. So not one part of God is holy. And then sometimes I'll hear preachers say, well, this is the dark side of God. God doesn't have a dark side. As if one side of God is wrath and the other side of God is love. And there is this firewall in between the wrath and the love of God. What kind of crazy talk is that? No, God is indivisible, and the entirety of his being is everywhere present. And so God is without component parts. It's what theologians refer to as the simplicity of God. The attributes of God are not like different spokes on a wheel and part of God is this and part of God is that. No, the entirety of God is everywhere present. The entirety of God is near you. The entirety of God is with you wherever you go. So maybe this will help give you a start in sharpening your thinking about who God is, the spirituality of God, that God is spirit. What a comfort this is to know that God is not limited by spatial dimensions. When church is over, he goes home with you, he goes home with me, he goes home with everybody else. If he was restricted to one body, he can only go home with one of us. And so that is why Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. Then I can send the helper and he will be with all of you forever. So be profound in your doctrinal teaching on the being of God.